All right, go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will. That's where we're going to be today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look specifically at verses 14 through 21, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. So I've got a picture for you. Jordan, go ahead and put up that first picture there. Everybody know who that is? Shirley Temple, yeah. And I think we've probably all seen movies with her in it. And I've often thought that my granddaughter, Luanna, looked like Shirley Temple a little bit. But most of us know Shirley Temple from her years as an actress and a singer and a dancer. And you may or may not have known, maybe you did, she was Hollywood's number one box office actress from 1934 to 1938. So she was a little girl. But you may not realize that in her adult years, she had another occupation. Go ahead and go to that next picture. She served as an ambassador to Ghana from 1974 to 1976. She was appointed by Gerald Ford. She also served later on as an ambassador to Czechoslovakia from 1989 to 1992, was appointed by George H.W. Bush. And so she lived quite a life. And during her tenure as an ambassador to Czechoslovakia, she was present during the Velvet Revolution. And if you don't know what that is, it basically brought an end to communism in that country. And so she was involved in that very important thing. And so you may or may not see this information in a trivia night category in the future. So you might want to keep that, you know, as a marker in your mind. But just one other thing. Do you have any idea how many American ambassadors there are currently? Any guess? I had to look it up. I mean, it's 188. You know, so we have 188 American ambassadors all over the world representing America. And in our passage this morning, Paul refers to us Christians as ambassadors. And so we're going to talk about this as well as some of the lessons that we continue to look at as we think about the indispensable gospel. So let's take a look at our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 14 through 21. Let's read that together. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, since we have reached this conclusion. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. From now on, we do not know anyone in a purely human way, even if we have known Christ in a purely human way. Yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed this message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word." So I've got a little outline here for you. I was on the ball this week and was able to get it for you. So the first thing that I want us to do is answer a question, okay? That's number one. The question is what compels us as we think about being ambassadors for Christ, okay? And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But as we think about being Christ's representatives, we have to ask a question. What is it that compels us to be on mission for God? What is it that compels us to do what God has called us to do? Well, Paul said the controlling factor in his life was what? It was Christ's love. He said, it is Christ's love that compels me to do what I do. He was so overwhelmed by Jesus' love that it compelled him to serve and honor Christ. It became the controlling motive in his life. Now, notice Paul didn't say, my love for Christ compels me. He said, Christ's love for me compels me to do this. Now, that doesn't mean Paul didn't love Jesus. He did. Okay, it's evident that he loved Jesus. But it was Christ's love for him that compelled him to serve and honor the Lord. And so, guys, when we recognize and we think about all that Christ has done for us, we think about all the ways God has blessed us through his son, Jesus. I mean, ultimately, forgiveness of sin and salvation. But when we recognize all that Christ has done for us, there really can't be any selfishness in our hearts. And it should be Christ's love that compels us to pray for the lost, like we've been doing. Okay, hopefully you're doing that on a daily basis. It's Christ's love that compels us to share the gospel with other people. It's Christ's love that compels us to give our tithes and offerings to the church to further the kingdom of God. It's Christ's love that compels us to feed over 2,000 a month through our food pantry. It's the love of Christ that compels us to do what we do in ministry. And guys, here's the bottom line. If you aren't compelled by Christ's love to serve in his name, there might be something wrong with you. If you don't have this overwhelming desire to serve the Lord, to love God and to love people, there might be something wrong with you. Maybe you've grown complacent. Maybe you need revival in your heart. Maybe you just need to be more disciplined in your life. But thinking about all that he's done for us should motivate us to minister in his name. And Paul said what? That we've been given a brand new identity. We are a brand new creation. You know, that's the symbolism of baptism. You know, we all know what that means. When a person is taken under the water, it's like dying to the old way of life. When the person is brought up out of the water, it's symbolic of being a new creation, raised to walk in the newness of Christ. And so we are a brand new creation. That means that we aren't who we were before. We're different. We've changed. We live for Christ now. And he's our boss, right? The big boss, capital B. And we're to follow him. He's our example in life. And this means that we do what he says that we should do. We go where he says we should go. We say what he says we should say. Jesus' motivation in going to the cross was love. I mean, John 3:16 just settles that for us. And the same thing should greatly compel us to share the gospel. That is, Christ loves us. He's our example. So what compels us? The love of Christ compels us to pray and to serve and to share and to give and do all the things that he's called us to do. But the second thing I want us to look at, and a little bit further down the scripture, verses 18 through 21, is the theme of reconciliation. And basically, Paul is saying, reconciliation is God's charge to us. That means he is encouraging us to do this. He is motivating us to do these things. Paul uses the word reconciliation 5 different times in these few verses here. The word reconciliation basically means to take things that have been broken and put them back together again. I mean, that's really a simple definition of the word reconciliation, to take what is broken and to put it back together again. And what does Paul say there? In the first part of 18, he says, everything is from God who reconciled us, meaning our broken relationship has been put back together through God. Okay, our relationship was broken, And that broken relationship was put back together with God through Jesus. He also says in 18b, going a little bit further, and that Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so since God has put us back together, He's given us the ministry of helping restore broken relationships between God and man. He has tasked us with helping Him fix our broken world. That's why we're the body of Christ. That's why He sends us out to help the world and God be reconciled together. And then look further, the first part of verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world. Through Christ, God restores broken relationships between Him and the world. Paul reemphasizes it there. And then look a little bit further, verse 19. He uses the word reconciliation again. Again, we've been given the ministry of helping restore the broken relationships between God and man. And then finally, in verse 20, what does he say? Let's read it again. He said, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message. World, be reconciled back to God. Let this broken relationship be restored. And so we plead with others on behalf of God for the world to stop being broken. You know, we've talked a lot about the three circles, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in just a few minutes, but we talk about how our world is living in brokenness, and things don't work when we ignore God's design, and that's why our world is broken, because we've ignored God's design, we've gone our own way, we've chosen our own path, and when we choose to do things our own way instead of God's way, we see things like death and violence and lawlessness and war and all these things that we see today, because our world is broken. And so we need to plead with others on behalf of God. Listen, stop being broken. Follow God's plan. This is why we have to frequently and intentionally pray for people who are lost. I'm just convinced that we don't do that enough. I know in my own life, for a while I didn't. But the Lord laid upon my heart, it's been working my heart. Kobe, you need to pray for these people specifically that I've placed upon your heart. These are people that are broken and need me, and I'm going to use you to carry this message to them. It starts by praying for them. And so I've been praying for people, some for several years. And I'm convinced that one day God will open the door for me to talk with these individuals about the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He wants people to know Him. He wants people to be reconciled. That's why we have to frequently and intentionally pray for those who are lost. This is why the gospel is indispensable. This is why the gospel is absolutely necessary. There's no other way for people to be reconciled with God. You know, think about this. We talked a little bit about farming last week. A farmer doesn't need an advanced degree in horticulture to have an abundant harvest. You know why? Because here's what he does. He scatters the seed and he trusts God to water it and make it grow. Right? That's what a farmer does. Now, there's some work in there, yes. But basically, you scatter the seed and you trust God to make it grow. Gospel seeds work the same way. And so we should pray that God would help St. Charles County have repeated opportunities to hear and respond to the gospel. You know what that means? How many of you have ever, in the fall, overseeded your yard in the hopes that in the spring all that grass would come up? I mean, you just kind of overdo it, right? And in the spring, all this grass begins to come up. It takes a while and things have to happen, but eventually, man, all that new grass sprouts up. It's because you seeded the ground. You overseeded. And maybe that's what we need. You know, there are a lot of lost people in St. Charles County and in the surrounding area. We all know people that are lost and broken. And we have to scatter that seed. People have to have opportunities to hear and respond to the gospel. And guys, Jesus is a precious gift. We talked about that already. The gospel is a precious gift, and we have to continually share this valuable gift with others whose lives are broken and shattered. Because beyond that, there's no hope. And one day, if they don't know Christ, they're going to die without knowing Him. That's why it's imperative. That's why the gospel is indispensable. It's absolutely necessary. I'm going to take one little step further here and focus in on the word ambassador, and that's number three, and answer another question. What does being Christ's ambassador mean? We talked about Shirley Temple earlier, being an ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia. So what does that mean for us? We are Christ's ambassadors. Well, an ambassador what is an ambassador? An ambassador is an official acting as a representative of a nation. Basically, that's it. So when sent to a foreign land, the ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the country that he represents. Let me say that again. An ambassador's role, when he goes to a foreign country, is to reflect the official position of the country that he represents. So, again, we are Christ's ambassadors. Paul is urging us as Christians to consider ourselves as a representative of Jesus. So we are here on earth for a time, and we represent the official position of the person that we represent. And that's Jesus. That's Christ. So we represent Christ. We reflect His role. And so an ambassador, we understand, lives in one country, but is responsible to another. If you were an ambassador to Czechoslovakia, when Shirley Temple was, that means she lived in Czechoslovakia, right? She lived in that foreign country, but she was, for all intents and purposes, an American there. And so an ambassador lives in one country, but he is responsible to another country. He must represent the message of the leader that is not directly present in the nation that is hosting him. And so as ambassadors for Christ, we are to represent our leader, Jesus, by spreading His message to the host nation. Earth, this world in which we live. And what is that message? Be reconciled unto God, right? That's what Paul said, and this is our message. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That's our message. And so being an ambassador for Christ means we give up our earthly kingdoms and we pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God. We can build our earthly kingdom here, but it's not going to last forever. One day it's going to fade away. And so we have to pledge our allegiance to the kingdom of God. Listen, heaven is our home. That's where our allegiance should go, is to the kingdom of God. Yeah, we live in St. Charles County right now. We live on earth right now. But that's only temporary. One day we're going to be home forever. Leslie and I were listening to a song earlier on the way here, driving up. We had to blare some music to keep us awake. And the song, was it by Matt Papa, Almost Home? And if you ever never listened to that song before, go listen to it. And it's kind of like a march. You know, it's like you're in battle and you're marching and you're done with the war and you're almost home. And you're just like, he just encouraging the troops, we're almost home, we're almost home. Just a little bit farther, we're almost home. Okay? We're almost home, but we're not there yet. And in the meantime, we have work to do. So it means we continue to share, we continue to plead on Christ's behalf. We tell others about the good news so they can join the kingdom as well. And guys, one of the best ways that we do that is, there's several different ways that we can do it. Number one, we can just share our personal testimony, right? What has God done in your life personally? And it may be your salvation experience, but it may be something beyond that. How God has answered a prayer in your life recently. A miracle that he's done in your life, that you could point people to Jesus through that event. That's being a personal testimony. That's sharing a personal testimony as well. So a personal testimony, yeah, is when you came to know Christ, and that's a great story to share. But beyond that, how else has God been working in your life? So you can share a personal testimony. You can share the three circles that we've been talking about. Remember, thinking about the first circle is God's design. God originally created a world where everything worked together perfectly and everyone got along, but something happened. Man started to go his own way. And when we start to go our own way and ignore God's design, it leads to brokenness. And that thing that leads to, that when we decide to go our own way, it's sin. Sin leads to brokenness. And people search for ways out of the brokenness, right? They do a lot of different things. I want to alleviate the pain in my heart, and this brokenness can be something internal like an addiction or a bad relationship or something like that, and we see the evidence of brokenness all around us like we talked about earlier, and just the sinfulness that we see in society. And God, the world doesn't work when we ignore God's design. At this point, we need a remedy. The remedy is the gospel. The gospel is a Bible word that means what? Good news, okay? People need good news. But not, just knowing about that is not enough. The good news, obviously, that Jesus came from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He rose again. He ascended back into heaven. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. But just knowing that is not enough. We have to make an effort to go away from our own life, repent, and go toward God. And when we make that step to put our faith and trust in what Christ has done for us, then we can begin to rediscover and live again according to what God's design is. And so these circles connect. It's a very easy way that you can share the gospel with somebody. And listen, it doesn't have to be word for word. It doesn't have to be perfect. If you just get the basic elements of the three circles, then you've shared the gospel. And there's a number of different ways that you can incorporate that conversation about the gospel in everyday conversations. For instance, if you're talking with somebody at work and you're talking about the war going on in Ukraine, everybody knows that what's going on there. Nobody's in favor of what's going on there. Everybody thinks that's bad. And so as you're talking, you'd say, you know, man, looking at that, that's certainly not what God designed in the beginning. You know, he didn't design a world where we saw war and stuff like that. In the beginning, God designed a world where everything worked together and everything fit together. See how you jump into that conversation? Now, they may turn you off, and that's okay, but at least you've initiated the conversation. And maybe in just a couple of minutes, you can share with them the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we can incorporate this conversation into everyday conversations. Listen, we're going to be talking more about that as the weeks go on, okay? And I'm going to be challenging you with some stuff. So hold tight. We're going to be talking more about that. But you could share the three circles. But listen, if you can't do anything but just say, listen, here's the gospel. Jesus came from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and he rose again. If you can just share those three things, you've shared the gospel with somebody. You could share the parables, right? We've been talking about the parable of the lost son, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. Share that parable with somebody. That's the gospel. You can share the gospel with somebody through telling a story. People like to hear stories. Share that story with them. So there's ways that we can share the gospel. We just have to be aware of it and looking for opportunities. So many times we get so caught up in our stuff that we fail to recognize this might be an opportunity for me to share the gospel with somebody. You know, as I said at the very beginning of this sermon series, God's been working in my heart that I need to do a better job in that. And I need to be a better example. And I need to be a better teacher. And that's what I've tried to do. And that's why I will continue to do. So will you be in Christ's ambassador even this week? Will you be his representative? Maybe you're here today, though, and you say, well, Pastor, that's all well and good, but you know what? I need the gospel in my life. You talk about all that, and I recognize I need Jesus in my life right now. Well, here's what you do. We're going to sing a song in a minute. As we sing this song, you can pray a prayer to the Lord and say, God, I want you in my life. I recognize that I have sinned. I recognize that I need you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life. I commit to follow you for the rest of my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Just as easy as that. Doesn't have to be a specific prayer or a specific words. Just the heart is what God is concerned about. Your heart. And you say, well, I don't even know what to pray. You know, it's a funny thing you say that, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will plead on our behalf when we don't know what to pray. The main thing is that God knows your heart. Think about the thief on the cross. He didn't pray any special prayer. What did he say? Lord, remember to me today when you go into your kingdom. That's all he said. And what did Jesus say? You'll be with me today in paradise. He recognized the man's heart. That's what matters most. So pour your heart out to him today. Don't leave today without knowing Jesus. But beyond that, commit to pray for people this week. Commit to be Christ's ambassador. Commit to plead on God's behalf. Be reconciled unto God. Let the love of Christ compel you to love other people this week. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Father, we thank you today for this message, this letter that Paul wrote. And Father, it's such an important message. And Father, you lay out so many things for us there. Namely, that we are your ambassador, that you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. But Lord, this is your message, not ours. We're just your representative. We're your mouthpiece. We're just representing you while we're here. And so we're going to do things on your behalf. And Lord, you told us to share the gospel. You told us here in this passage to plead on your behalf, be reconciled unto God. Lord, you gave us the Great Commission to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. You told us in Acts that we would be your witnesses when the Holy Spirit came upon us, that you told us to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Father, we have your mandate. And I pray that we'd be about it. Father, help us to know what to do and when to say and what to say. And Lord, give us your power. Let your power just well up inside of us, Lord, and just empower us so much that just there's no fear at all. Just the power of God living inside of us, letting that power be made evident in the world in which we live. So Lord, just have your way among us right now. Work among us as only you can. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. Amen.